Welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies, and today I'm speaking with Raoul Panther III and Shock Magnum from the Proto Men. In our interview, the two tell us about their history with the band, which has been around since 2005 and has quite the ravenous fan base. Both Raoul and Shock tell us about their roles in the band, both playing guitar, and Raoul singing lead and playing keyboards as well. They both talk about their base, which is in Nashville, and where they grew up, and Raoul tells us about singing at an early age backing John Denver, and Shock tells us about learning the guitar from his brother. Raoul takes us through the history of the band, which started as a project from fellow MTSU students, and the two tell us about their songs, which have been used in TV shows and commercials, and they talk about what venues they usually play. Raoul and Shock discuss the Proto Men's new album, Act 3, The City Made Us, and they talk about gear, Shock's Gibsons and Orange Amps, and Raoul's Tom Anderson Raven through a Kemper Profiler. The two tell us about what they do outside of music, family, and working in the garage. To find out more about the Proto Men, you can go to their website, protomen.com. That's protomen.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's Raoul and Shock.
Hey there.
Hey, what's up, brother?
How you doing? Good. Nice to see you guys.
Hey, nice to see you too.
I guess you didn't realize it was going to be audio only.
Oh, well, I'll let you know better. Yeah. Well, we've got a few other interviews afterwards, so we figured we'd go ahead and get all faced up. But we thought we'd give you a little stuff. How about that?
Oh, I really appreciate it. So which one is which?
Shock Magnum's over there. I'm Raoul Panther.
Say that again. You are who?
I'm Raoul Panther.
Oh, Raoul Panther. Okay, good.
And I'm a Shock Magnum. That's right.
And Shock, how long have you been with the band?
I joined in 2014. Okay. So I'm, believe it or not, the newest member of this ragtag bunch of rats.
And Mr. Panther, how long have you been with the band?
Right since the first terrifying day.
Okay.
Right since the beginning.
His fault, man.
Oh, yeah, it probably is my fault. No, it's really not. It's Commander and Murphy's fault.
Yeah, blame them.
And he too. Yeah. I got you.
So I met you guys. You guys probably don't remember, but you guys played Slim's in San Francisco.
A
million years ago, and my band was the Deadlies, and we opened for you.
Of course. So I was looking up stuff and saw the Deadly, and it instantly rang a bell. And then you have a couple of videos of Slim's. Yeah. And so what show, when would that have been? You probably weren't with Slim's.
No, he was with, I think he was.
I think it might have been my first run.
Okay.
I don't remember the year, because my years all blend together.
Does it still exist?
It's demise.
Yeah, we, I think we heard that.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite venues out on the West Coast.
You guys packed the place, and your audience was fucking rabid.
Yeah. It's a good town.
They were doing, like, the centipede in the audience and stuff. While we were playing, they're doing the centipede. And while you guys were playing there, they were insane.
You know what's great about the thing is, you know, you've got the Slayer fans, which are rabid, but then they will pepper the whatever opener with, like, Slayer, but our fans are just, like, wide open for everybody. They're very welcoming. They're open to new music. They're open to the opening band and stuff. So that's what I do love about them is they're very kind to. They're kind to the bar staff. And whatever happens at the end of the night, the bar staff and the server staff are always like, hey, you guys come back anytime. Your fans are like the nicest. They fit well. They pick up their trash.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They don't start bar fights.
No, that's important.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But, that's all right. That was probably my first run with the band, I recall now. Because that was the Festival Supreme.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's right when I had joined, I believe.
Okay.
I know that y'all peppered that part of the country multiple times before I joined.
But that's the last time that we have played San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a cool town.
Yeah, of course. And a town that embraces you.
Yeah. We need to get back.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. So where do you guys normally tour? And why haven't you updated your website?
Man, that's above my pay grade about the website. we've been sort of all hands on deck trying to roll out the new record. So some things have been deprioritized in favor of getting music out there that, sure, you know, should have been out there a decade ago.
Well, it's an amazing record.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm really glad you enjoyed it, man. Yeah, we're very proud of it.
Yeah. And Raul, you're singing, but there's a bunch of singers, right?
Yeah, there's really one other singer. Picks up on the female vocal.
Uh-huh.
And she's been with the band since not quite the very beginning, but very close.
Okay.
But don't let him trick you. He does, there's I think 3 or 4 voices on the album that he all does, but he's able to manipulate either physically with his throat or, you know, whatever, or using some effects and stuff. He does a lot of stuff, and it's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And are you guys in your studio right now?
We are, yeah. Yeah.
And you guys have a studio in Nashville?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you guys all both born and raised in Nashville or not so much?
I was born in McMinnville, Tennessee. It's okay. Where I was raised. Moved here about 10 or 12 years ago. McMinnville is about an hour and change southeast of Nashville. So sure. I grew up a lot. No, it's not that far. Like that would be Chattanooga is closer to Georgia. But I'm still pretty close to here. Grew up close to here. And that, you know, with Nashville was still a huge part because that's where we would drive to go see shows. There wasn't anything in my town. So I can say that I have seen the changes in Nashville, but I've also been a part of what makes Nashville special. And the fact that we're all still kind of born in this same area, regardless of if it's Nashville or not. Nashville has been a big part of all of our lives, I believe.
Sure. And you probably?
I grew up in Memphis in West Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just upstairs talking about Stephen Hopper.
And the Colonel.
Yeah. Do they really call him the Colonel?
I don't know.
But you ever heard that? Did they call him Steve the Colonel Cropper?
Yes, they do. Oh, yeah. That's what his next name. Yeah.
We're wondering, a lot of people in Memphis were like, is everybody's like the Colonel there? You know?
Like Tom Parker?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Memphis, Raul the Colonel Panther.
Yeah, I think very good. and you start singing at a young age, Raul?
Yeah, pretty early. When I was in elementary school, we had this fantastic music teacher that was sort of tied in the local arts scene in Memphis, and was big buddies with John Denver and whoever and Orpheum. So I was backing John Denver on Christmas shows when I was a kid.
Right on.
Yeah, you know
that? I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah, there's no video of it because nobody had cell phones.
Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic.
And singing for Tom Cruise when he came into town to film The Firm.
What?
Yeah, it was some weird thing where maybe Tom Cruise wants a children's choir to come sing for him.
Wow.
He did not, I guarantee.
No, he wasn't quite annoyed, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was there. I was like, hey, I don't know who Tom Cruise is.
We had a body double at that time. Right. Another tiny guy walking in.
Right.
Slide down the stage like Risky Business, and like, it's Tom Cruise.
We sang him a little bitty.
And so, when did you start playing guitar?
12, 13-ish years old. I was fortunate, you know, I grew up in a decent little house of music. I had an older brother who was 8 years older than me. And instead of being like the big bully, come here and give you a wedgie, older brother, he was like, come on, let's listen to Metallica and Slayer and things like that. So I was able to, some of his buddies would play guitar, and I would go hang out and get my hands on. And before you knew it, you know, I was in band and playing in bars outside because they wouldn't let me in, but they would run like a really long table out back and things like that. So I started at the 12 and 13 year old age.
Was that in Nashville, that bar?
Yeah, it was at the Cannery Ballroom.
Oh, really?
It was an outdoor, out back, and we didn't have a cable long enough, so I had to use a wired unit, and they just turned my tape around to me.
Wow.
and playing. It's like death metal, like 1995 old school death metal. A bunch of like starts and stops.
Sure, sure.
So there were times when there was a stop, and it would be me starting the next part of the riff. Yeah. And everyone out front of the stage is like, "Where is that coming from?" And I was out back.
Was there like a bouncer standing at the door making sure you didn't sneak in?
I had a couple of like cousins of mine were out back because the cannery, as we all know, but the backstage of it is trains go through, and there's still active trains. And then with trains, you get some of the hobo community, and so I had people literally asking me for change while I was playing.
It's the unhoused, okay? It's not hobos. It's
I know. I'm so sorry. It was such a unique experience that, like, as I get older and you make decisions and you find yourself, I'm in my 40s and I'm still doing this, and it's crazy that I'm still doing this. And you go, well, 50% of the people that would have stopped at that point. They would have been like, oh, we can't. Like, they were telling us, he's not going to be able to play. Wow. He's not going to be able to play. He can't even go in the venue to go around the back. We can't allow him inside at all.
Wow.
And, like, my whole support system of all the older friends that I was mentioning earlier, my brother's older friends who I was in a band with, just said, we're going to make this happen. And I think those experiences in your mind continue to say, this is going to be what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Even though you're not making that decision as a, let me find a document saying this, you just go, I'm always going to make it work one way or the other, reconnecting flights to get there right on time at the show, or no sleep, or whatever. I blame all of those people for all the poison and that. it's I love it, but sometimes I go, what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell have I done?
And Raul, you were wearing a helmet, I think, when we performed with you.
Yeah.
With the mic built into it.
It's probably somewhere around here. Yeah, it's gone through a couple of iterations. It was real bad in the first two or three, real squawky. You put it on and it would immediately just start howling in the mains. But I think we've dialed it down. I think we got it a 57.
Okay.
And the front, and that's sort of the magic ball. Yeah, it still makes its appearance
right on
every night.
And when you guys started the band, I mean, was it always going to be a concept right from the beginning?
Yeah. Most of us, when the band started, we met in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is like a little college town about 40 minutes south of Nashville.
Yep.
And it was a big music town too, and had a good amount of fame and focus sort of right before I got there.
Uh-huh.
So we rolled in. I rolled into Murfreesboro, hearing about, you know, a lot of the Sponge Bath Records was the big label that was the indie label that was running out of Murfreesboro.
Uh-huh.
But there were tons of bands. And so everyone in the Protomen was in other bands too. And so this was sort of a project that it sort of spawned from a college assignment. Uh-huh. We were all part of this recording industry program at MTSU. And so it was kind of, a side project, do one show, make it interesting, try to do something different from all the other bands that you're already in.
Sure.
And it was so much fun, and it was so well received, and we just sort of kept it going.
Yeah.
There was more college project, or, the next semester you had another project, and we said, let's record another song.
Yeah.
And then that became, let's just record the whole album. Now, here we are. Sitting in front of a camera.
Am I allowed to ask you about your day job? Do you guys both work in the record industry outside of the Protomen?
That's a good question. Be allowed to ask us about our day job?
I personally, you're allowed to ask us anything, sir.
We do have
day jobs, and they both are flexible and afford us the ability to show up I'm in a couple of other bands as well.
Okay.
Acts and stuff, so I'm able to do that, but the job I have, and it's very, very flexible and easy to do.
Right on.
Yeah, we really just really just don't want our co-workers to find out what the damn thing. Once they do that, man, you start having to play the Christmas parties.
Exactly.
Are you going to answer questions at Thanksgiving? You
know? When is the Christmas album coming out?
Man, there was talk of that so many years ago.
Real talk of that.
Yeah, we were going to write this real, you know, dystopian version of Frosty the Snowman. It almost got off the ground.
Have you guys done any soundtracks for video games?
What have we done? We've done a thing for Capcom around one of the anniversaries of the Mega Man video game series.
Okay.
And we've done I'm gonna catch so much hell for not remembering what we've done. We did most of the score for a play.
Okay.
It happened here in Nashville called Terminator the Second.
Okay.
There's been several video games that have been already written and recorded music in Trader like that. And we've also had some fortune of having some songs used in some major TV shows, Cobra Kai, and then a very tantalizing central David Beckham underwear ad.
Oh man. Yeah, that one's a doozy. Sent that around to the family.
Oh yeah. I mean,
lots of that was a fun conversation around Thanksgiving
dinner last year.
Yeah, I don't think we've written anything specifically for a video game though.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And what about, like, do you guys ever perform at Comic-Con things? You know,
we did once really early in the band's existence. And it was, we have definitely played conventions. And in fact, we're going to be in Baltimore in about a month playing something called MAGFest, Music and Gaming Festival.
Oh, cool.
It's definitely one of our favorites.
Yeah, right up your alley.
Yeah, it's really a, you know, video game convention that is focused on the music. The Comic-Con was fun, and we played PAX up in Seattle and in Boston and actually in Australia. And those are fun too, but they're just really not focused on the music. It feels like a sort of an afterthought.
Yeah, music is kind of like an accessory to the actual center of the event.
But sure, I understand.
The Music and Gaming Festival, they really do. The people that run those events are fantastic people, and they are really focused on the music part just as well as the gaming part. So they make sure that the sound's great, the gear that they have is all top notch. They bring in some really great third party companies to work with. And a lot of it has been based on, you know, I know I've only been with the band since 2014, but I know you guys had some earlier times when it was like just kind of learning to it. And so they've been able to grow with the band itself, because every time we play, it just gets better. And they ask us what works, what didn't work, and they together with us. So it's, since I've joined, it's the quality and the care that goes along with that particular convention has been fantastic.
Right. And they do this great thing that I think the other conventions don't do, where they enter down when the concerts start. So, you know, that's the focus. At night, you know, all day you're playing games, trying out stuff, and then at night,
and it's helpful too, because a lot of folks that are in those conventions, sometimes you can be very center focused, and it's able to kind of give a lot of people out of their comfort zone to go and experience these live music events as well. So you have like 5,000 all centered on this one event. And they also stream it throughout all the hotel TVs as well, so if you don't feel like getting out, you can still watch it.
Wow, right on. That's great. Is there a part of the country where you guys like do better, or are you guys like, you know, pretty much the whole country? And what about like other countries?
Pretty much any major city is going to be fun for us, because we're going to draw, you know, everybody within a 3-hour drive radius.
Weird
pockets that I don't know. We do pretty decently everywhere in the United States.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've been to Europe a couple of times.
Oh, you have? Right on.
You know, it's one of those things where it was a bit humbling the first time we went. And then the second time we went, we saw some growth. And so we're hoping to get back over there.
Yeah.
You know, and try to find more fans in Europe.
What about Asia?
Never. Commander, one of the guys that plays media, just got back from Japan.
Okay, there he is.
Commander.
And he's actually sort of talking to some people over to see how we can maybe make some inroads and see, you know, how we can get people to know who we are over there. We'd love to do it.
Sure. Yeah, Capcom being the parent company to Mega Man, and our music being indirectly derivative of that in a way, that would be fantastic to have that connection.
Sure.
I think we're trying to get our existing catalog translated.
Sure.
That's one of the first steps, I think.
Wow.
I hope it worked out. We'd love to do it.
and now some guitar specific questions. So, Mr. Magnum, what are you playing?
Currently with the Protoman, I'm playing a 91 Gibson Explorer.
Oh, right on.
With the stock pickups in it now, I think I'm about to throw a pair of Lace Sensors in it that I just pulled out of my Les Paul. For the album, I mostly recorded with I have a 94 Les Paul Studio.
Sure.
Both of them pawn shop pickups. Both of them ridiculously cheap prices, and both kind of like lifer guitars for me now. It's like I don't want to play anything other than a Les Paul or an Explorer, it seems like. But for this band, yeah, the Explorer is cooking. It's light. The neck is fast.
It is light.
It's my Explorer is light. The Les Paul, not so much.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's not as light as I would like to think, but when I'm having the Les Paul on with my other groups, then I go back to the Explorer. I'm like, oh, this is great. It just looks rad because it's a black body with a white pickup guard. And then, of course, you see everything that I'm wearing. My makeup is kind of almost the shape of an Explorer in a way.
Yeah.
But that amp, that guitar cooks, man. Panther took both of our guitars in to set up the buddy David Johnston with Scale Model Guitars.
Uh-huh.
So he's getting set up and getting them road ready. So right now I'm playing through an 80s contemporary Strat, Japanese Strat.
Uh-huh.
It's weird because the settings on my amp and everything, I haven't messed with them to get the Strat sounding as good as it could be. But I don't want to, because in like 3 days I'll have my Explorer back.
Exactly.
I got this again. But that Strat is the oldest guitar that I've owned. I got it from my father, actually.
Wow.
When he first realized in the 90s that I was going to continue playing, that it wasn't just a goofball thing. And
what about amps?
An orange, a Rockerberg.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, actually, we're endorsed by Orange.
Are you?
One of the first things that happened when I joined the band, I was like, you know, we've got a substantial catalog. We're touring a lot. Let me see. You know, I love the sound of Orange. I love the look of Orange. And it's just, you can't go wrong. It's just like a big, big meaty steak, you know, of tone, especially when you pair it with a Gibson. I reached out to them and they were very receptive. They were quick to say, hey, what do you need? We'll get you a good deal. And
right.
I've had that since about 2015 or 16.
Okay.
So MK2 Rockerverb Orange, and then 212 custom cab from the company Emperor.
Sure.
Based out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That particular one, that cab, was used, I bought it from Dave Johnson, the guy from Scale Model Guitars,
okay.
Which if you're not familiar with him, he's fantastic. He does all of Billy String's guitar repairs,
uh-huh.
Jason Isbell's repairs here in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
Known him since he moved from Chicago back in 2016. He's a great, great guy. But he called me and said, hey, man, you've been looking for an Emperor. I've got Dwayne Dennison of Jesus Lizard, a reunion tour in 2009 when Dwayne Dennison and Jesus Lizard got back together for this like one-off in Nashville, and then a small run after that. He wasn't using this cab anymore, so he's like, you want to buy this? It's like, hell yeah. So I've got it penciled in the back, Dwayne Dennison 2016. So that's pretty much my rig, my meat and potatoes rig. I don't need much, man. I need like a Dispatch Master on delay, a little OCD for a little gain boost.
Yeah.
And that Rockerverb's got an attenuator on it for actual volume boost.
Oh, right.
There. And so I don't need much, man. I'm like toning the fingers, headbang your face off, and then, you know, drink a beer, and that's all. That's the shit.
And Ralph, you, what are you doing for
Christmas? Man, I bought, it's been 6 or 7 years ago that I decided I was going to find the guitar. I for years, I toured on just whatever was laying around. I had a like an old Epiphone Les Paul, and I had a Cort Panther.
Yeah.
That was a guitar that I bought because it said Panther on it, and toured on it for years. But a few years ago, I went shopping around, and I fell in love with a Tom Anderson guitar.
Yeah.
It's a Raven. It's like an offset guitar. It, and I played it with no amplifier and loved the sound of it. Uh-huh. And then walked away from it mostly because of the price. Uh-huh. And couldn't get it out of my head for about a month and kept shopping around trying to find something that I love better. I finally just pulled the trigger on it. And it's the most rock solid guitar I've ever played. I'm a very, I'm a sloppy guitar player. So the more that the guitar can sort of hold its own against me, in spite of me, the better I'm going to sound.
Sure.
So that's what I've been running for several years now.
Okay,
and
cool.
Playing through a Kemper modeler.
Okay.
Guitar is secondary for me behind keys, typically.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing a whole other rig, Kemper works for me.
Yeah.
And he plays, the parts that he plays, he's bullshitting when he says he's a sloppy guitar player. He plays exactly what the music needs.
Yeah.
And the thing about what the music needs is there's some of these unique spots that some of, like, on this new record, the Morricone stats, like the crispy frying pan singular melodic notes that need to just cut through.
Yeah.
And then he'll have kind of a David Gilmour sound he needs to get. And for what he's saying, like, the Kemper works perfect for that because he clicks back and forth between two or three patches and it just is a different guitar sound, but perfect for what it is. So you gotta utilize those tools where we are these days, you know?
Oh, of course. And who
the guitar he has is amazing, you know? The guitar he has is freaking phenomenal.
It's so far.
It plays like the sweetest, butteriest Strat Les Paul combo you can ever imagine. Yeah.
Who played the Roger Fisser licks in Buried in the Red?
Oh, man, that's... The Roger Fisher,
like, so the heart sounding riffs, like in the beginning of
The beginning of the song. That it was that Heath.
Yeah, you.
I did some.
Yeah, and
So you have to understand here, Jimmy or James.
Either one, it doesn't matter.
All right, I'm gonna go with Jimmy. Some of this stuff was recorded 7, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, 3. It was scattered across time. So
sure.
Myself and original founder and still contributes to the albums and writing and some shows, Heath, who hath no name. he is the residential guitar nerd, the residential historian behind a lot of the stuff.
Okay.
And me and him had some really awesome guitar duel battles on that song.
Yeah.
We were just up into like 4 8 years. Is that me? Is that him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go back to the tape and the notes and, you know, the Pro Tools tracks just to figure out who it is, because it does blur together. And, you know, we were also pretty, like, agnostic on what, you know, it wasn't like, oh, it's my guitar, it's my, I'm going to do this and, you know, we'll force it in. It was really like, figure out what guitar, what amp works for the exact moment. Even if you're swapping up guitars and amps mid-song to change that tone.
Yeah.
We had,
It was a lot of like, fun. It was a lot of like, well, who wins? I mean, we would sit there and try to see who would win. And usually it was the person who had the right amount of whiskey in them before it went off the cliff. You know, it's like the perfect amount of like, whoa. Like, I'm a pool shark right now. Oh, one more shot. Oh, I'm the worst pool player ever. Like, it's kind of
right, the balance.
Yeah, there's a fine line there, but that was me and He Who Hath No Name on that most of that album. That's that particular song, if I'm correctly.
Yeah, I think Bacher's in there on chorus, some of the chords, some of those little sparkly chords.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's a he's a tastemaker. Our third guitar, fourth guitar player.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. He's been with the band quite a while.
Much longer than me. Yeah, he's the guy who can get you know, anything from like the Gilmore wailing tones out of his hands and fingers with no pedals or anything. Like,
right.
He's that guy.
Right.
He plays a Fender and he uses an Orange Crush.
Sure.
And and the matching Emperor 212 that I have.
Oh,
we flipped that up. There were two of them. So, but yeah, he's on that as well.
Oh, right on. That's great. And so aside from the Proto Men and your day jobs, which aren't, we don't know specifically what they are, but we know that
we don't know specifically.
I don't know. I explain to people sometimes. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What do you guys do for fun? sorry.
Until this cold snap in Nashville, I spend as much time in my garage working on small engine stuff.
Okay, cool.
Wow. That's kind of where I clear my head.
Like small engines for?
Like, man, it started out really during the pandemic. I accidentally left my garage door open while I was getting some of my old motorcycles and scooters up to snuff. Okay. And then now my neighbors just bring me whatever is broken. So, you know, I'll drive up to my house and there'll just be something sitting in front of a, like, I don't know, a four-wheeler or a
lawnmower?
A tiller, sure, a lawnmower. I started turning away chainsaws recently. Those are garbage, man. Terrible. Terrible machines.
Yeah. Mr. Magnum?
I have a five-year-old daughter, my spare time usually is keeping her entertained, going places, just going out and around. And I enjoy going to see a lot of concerts, like just hanging out with friends and just really being around, you know, socializing. I was in, I just moved back to Nashville. I was in South Florida and Miami for the past 4 or 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Moved back, so I'm kind of catching up with a lot of folk that I haven't talked to in a while. Yeah. So I've been just doing that, but yeah, 5 year old will keep very,
that's
very
great. COVID baby, too.
Oh, yeah, July of 2020 is when she was born, and so but that's pretty much for me. Anything she needs to do, let's do it.
Since your website's not updated, where do people find out about your gigs?
Yeah.
Are you on like Bands in Town and that kind of stuff? Do you know?
For sure we are. And other than that, we're all over the typical social media stuff, Instagram. And, I'm sure we're on X. Is X still a thing?
It is.
I think we are. I'm not sure if we, they usually are all connected with one thing.
Right.
I'm assuming if you get up Instagram, Facebook, we have a very... our fans, as we were mentioning earlier, very healthy fan base. We have a fantastic Discord with our fans, Discord website, and then we have a subreddit. We don't really engage much on those, but any news and updates usually filter through within 15 minutes.
Well, they find out sometimes before we know.
Yeah. I'm like, huh? We get this tool?
But we are going to be updating the website soon. Our graphics design team, who has been rolling out this fantastic artwork that's been going along with the track that we've been releasing. We've been releasing, like once a week for the past 2 months, maybe. Okay. And with each musical release, we're releasing artwork that is just outstanding. It was the kind of thing that we did the first song that we released. We put out this artwork, and it was like, oh, man, now we got to do that every time because it's so good. So we've been really taxing them and their, day job schedules.
Sure,
but as soon as we get through that, I'm sure we're going to start updating the website because we've got this thing in Baltimore in January, and then we're planning on doing kind of a mini festival thing here in Nashville.
Okay, cool.
In the summer.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And then hopefully getting back out to San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that, you've kind of put in a claim. I'm going to put an internal support ticket with our team to get that. It's just that little hat tip to my actual day job. So I'm going to get a support ticket set up for you, Jimmy, and get it going.
Very cool. Well, it's nice talking to you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, man. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. And if we get back out your way, dude, you better believe we'd love to have the Deadlies open.
Oh, you're very
kind. Yeah, man.
Heck yeah.
Right on.
Really good to see you again.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Cheers, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Bye-bye. Be well.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. Thank you.